What I want to do today is I want to share part of my journey with you. For some of you, you'll have heard this before, but it's something that God has really sort of prompted me to do. So if you've heard it before, bear with it, and maybe God will tell you something or show you something. And if not, then this is part of my journey. And I want to take you back about 4 years, maybe more than 4 years.
I don't know, time goes so quickly, doesn't it? And it's the time where we were really exploring the supernatural. We were really exploring the spiritual realms, going into heaven, all the things that we do here now all the time. And for those of you who've kind of recently come and been part of us, it's just normal to you. You are so blessed. It was not always normal for us. And for me particularly, it was quite a process of adjustment in my journey and my walk with God and discovering how to access spiritual realms, how to meet God face to face, how to do certain things. So I'm going to take you back to part of my journey in that. And we were having, at the time, we were having what we call Joshua Generation groups, which we feel that God has called us to be part of the Joshua Generation, which is equipping people to live a supernatural lifestyle. And it's where we were kind of exploring this together ourselves. And one particular evening, we had an activation, so we'd been together and we'd had some sharing and some teaching, and then we kind of stepped into heaven together as a group, but obviously all had our own experiences. And for me, it was one of those occasions, I never found this particularly easy. And when people would share where they'd been and what God had showed them, I'd be like, because mine always seemed to me to be really random and not relevant, and you know, it was part of the struggle that I had on my journey in this. But this particular evening, we stepped in and we were encouraged to go to the River of Life, which is it's in heaven, and we can step through the veil through Jesus and go in and access these areas. So we were engaged to just get in the River of Life, which obviously is life in abundance in all of its fullness. So I managed to actually see the River of Life, and I was standing on the bank, and there was it's obviously in my spirit. I kind of entered into this in my spirit, and there was a red figure standing by the side of the river, and he gave me a key ring with 5 keys on it, and he said, go jump in the river, there are 5 chests for you to find and unlock and bring back what you find. So I was like, ooh, this was exciting. So I jumped into the river and I found them really easily, and I found the chests, and my keys opened all the chests, and I found a crown, I found a fruit, I found a tool, I found a scroll, and I found a mandate. So I took them all back to the bank of the river, and I realised that the figure that was there was one of the 7 spirits of God, which we talk about, and this was the spirit of the Lord. And his job is to mandate you for position, so to authorise you and to teach you how to be who God's called you to be. So I put them all out there. Didn't really understand any of the relevance of it, but it was quite exciting at the time because I actually had an encounter that meant something, although I didn't really understand it. Failing on from there, so I was just pondering it. Moving on from that one, another activation that we often do is see a door open in heaven. The door opens and Jesus says, come up here. Again, accessing into the spiritual realm, going from here. Accessing the spiritual realm and engaging with heaven. So, bearing in mind what I've just shared you about what I found, I walked up the white stairs and Jesus was at the top, and I could see this mountain. And on top of the mountain, there was a throne. And on the throne were all the things that I'd found in the river. But I couldn't get there. And I was looking and I was thinking, well, I must be meant to be up there because all the things that I've found are on that throne. And above it, I could see Isaiah 61, which is it's a passage in the Bible which really we're founded on here as a church. But it's a really good news passage. And I realised that as a church, we have been given various spheres of authority, one of them being good news. And I realised that this mountain represented the sphere of authority to do with good news. And what I could see over the top of it was hope. So from that, it started a process in me because I was scared because I thought, what does that mean for me? I never saw myself having authority in that area. I would have thought that I'd have had authority in an area of freedom because I loved seeing people set free and praying for people. And this set off all sorts of things in my mind that I needed to work through. So I entered a process with God. And I knew in myself that part of God's gifting on my life, or part of what God used me for, was to bring hope to people. And, you know, I know that I speak words of, I'm not bigging myself up here, I'm just recognising what God's put on the inside of me. So I'm just going to say it. But God gives me words of life and truth that bring freedom to people, that encourage them. And I know that it brings people hope. So I was working through this process thinking, well, if that is a mountain of hope, and I know that I bring hope, why can't I sit? Why can't I get there? What is it that's stopping me get up there onto that mountain? So God showed me lots of areas in my life where actually, although I've been a Christian a really long time, and I was on a journey and I was working through things in my life that had hindered me, God showed me that I still had areas of real hopelessness in my life, areas of disappointment and hopelessness that until I worked through and dealt with, I wasn't going to have authority in the spiritual realm to bring that to other people, because I was still engulfed in certain things in myself, which was a bit of a shock, I have to say, because I thought that I was all right. I thought I'd moved on. So he showed me some of these areas, and that where I was carrying deep disappointment, difficult family situations over the years, which I felt really hopeless in. I couldn't see a way forward. Situations just in life generally where it's like, oh, you get really down and you get disappointed. And I felt really hopeless. Now, I'd done my work. I tried to live a life of forgiveness. I tried to live a life of standing on the truth. I tried to do all the things that I knew that God required of me so that I could fulfill my destiny. But deep inside, there was some things that God needed me to overcome. And we talk about sometimes having giants in our lives. Those are things that are personal to us that we have to overcome. And I'm sure if you think about your own life, you can think of some things that have been giants for you that might not affect someone else, but for you, they've been big, that have been hindrances or blockages or stumbling blocks, or you felt in prison about certain things. And really, these things, they can keep us from our destiny. They can keep us from who God wants us to be. From who God wants us to be. They can hold us back. And I suddenly saw, I had this revelation one day that I had a grieving spirit on the inside of me that trapped me in hopelessness in certain situations. And it was my giant. It was something that I needed to overcome if I was ever going to come into the authority that God had for me before I could move forward towards my destiny. And how it outworked in my life, it caused me to settle. It caused me to stop me pressing in. It caused me to give up. It caused me to think, well, what's the point? Nothing's going to change. It's always going to be like this, which is the opposite of who God is, because what we say is nothing is impossible for God. But for me, it outworked saying, yes, lots of things are impossible with God because nothing is changing and nothing is going to change. This was not at a conscious level, I would like to tell you, because if it was, I'd have dealt with it. This was deep on the inside of me. And what I felt was really interesting at that time was I was struggling with the opposite of what I knew God had for me. So God had me as a hope bringer, as an encourager, as a life bringer, and yet I was struggling with hopelessness. And until I got to grips with that, I was never going to be who God had called me to be. And you know, we have an enemy who wants to rob, kill and destroy and knock us off track by attacking the very area that God has got for you. The very thing that God wants for you often is where you are vulnerable, and the enemy will try and hold you back in that area. So anyway, I then needed to make a decision. What was I going to do? Now for me, when I have had these things in my life to overcome, I see them in specific ways. Everybody is different. You may think I'm crazy, but you will have your own view of what a giant or a blockage or a prison or whatever it is looks like to you. But for me, I'm sure you're all familiar with Star Wars. If I have to overcome something in my life, it looks like Jabba the Hutt. It looks like this horrible, great, blobby thing, and it just is there. And I know then what I'm dealing with, because I have to overcome that. So what I did is I went back and I did some business with God. So I looked for the roots of where hopelessness had come in, where disappointment was such a big thing for me, and I forgave where I needed to. I needed to repent and renounce where I'd bought into it, where I'd agreed with the lies of the enemy. So I needed to do some work, and I did that with God. And again, when I'm warring in the spiritual realm, I have a sword. So when I'd done what I knew I needed to do, I took my sword and I chopped its head off. And I slit it right down the middle. And out of it came tumbling all these gold coins, which were symbolic of the promises that God had made me that had been swallowed up in hopelessness. So some of the things that God had spoken into my life that I hadn't been able to stand on and grasp hold of because they'd been snatched away came tumbling back. And I could retake them and I could have them for myself because I'd lost sight of all of those things. Then following on from that, I had an encounter with Jesus, which is always a good thing to do. And I encountered Jesus and he came for me on a white horse. And he said, get on the horse with me. So I got on a white horse with Jesus and he took me to the top of the mountain that I couldn't get to, the mountain that I was blocked from because of all the stuff had been cleared out of the way. And Jesus said, come on, up we go. And so he took me to the top of the mountain where I sat on that throne and I put on the crown and I took hold of my scroll. And a scroll means this is what you need to do. And I took hold of the mandate, which was this is your authority to do it. And I knew that I had authority to be on that good news mountain, to bring hope, to bring truth, to bring life in the spiritual realm. And that was a real significant change for me. Disappointment and hopelessness were defeated. Now, I'm not saying that I don't get disappointed, but I no longer live in hopelessness. And now I can identify it, and I know that God is good and that he will see me through. But disappointment is very, very real. And that's what I really feel that God has... He's been talking to me about it over the last few weeks, really. And it's a very real emotion, and it robs us so much of what God intends for us. And Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, when we really want something, when we hope for it, when we think something's going to happen, when we think God's going to do something, whatever it might be, and it doesn't work out, our heart can get sick. And God wants to heal us of sick hearts today. What is disappointment? Right, definition of disappointment, a sadness or displeasure caused by non-fulfillment of one's expectations. Unhappiness from the failure of something hoped for or expected to happen. Other words, failure, let down, non-event, anticlimax, setback, misfortune, fiasco, disaster, catastrophe, flop, damp squib, blow, non-starter. They are all definitions of disappointment, and I'm sure that we can all relate to them in some degree in our own lives. And there are levels. There are levels which are superficial, and there are levels which overwhelm us at the pit of our stomachs. So I can be disappointed it's not sunny today because I've got a barbecue this afternoon. I haven't. But that's a level of disappointment, isn't it? Wanted it to be sunny, it's not sunny. I can be disappointed because the person I trusted most in the world has let me down. Can you see? There are many levels of disappointment, and sometimes we can get layer upon layer upon layer that finally can overwhelm us. Now, I'm going to go back to the beginning. I did think I'd do a haze, but I'm not sure. But we've had incredible demonstrations recently of eternity. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Okay, do we want three people to be Father, Son and Holy Spirit? No, fine, we won't do it then. No role play today then. Then being in this love relationship with each other, just loving on each other in heaven, that God is just love. We've heard it last week, we heard it the week before. All we're hearing recently is God is love. And we were created in the heart of God. Before we ever came here, we were created in the heart of God to be in that love relationship with them, Father, Son, and spirit, in that harmony, that unity, that togetherness. And in the beginning, when Adam was created, he enjoyed that love relationship. He was in that intimacy. He walked face to face with God. Everything he was wrapped up in that love relationship. And the needs that Adam had on the inside of him, the need to be accepted, to be affirmed, to be loved, to belong, to have purpose and significance, were all met in that love relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's how it was meant to be. Till it went wrong. Till Adam took the wrong path. And then it ended for all of us, because what we enjoyed, or what God's heart and intention was for us to enjoy, we were separated from God. I'm going to read Psalm 139 if I can. It's very tiny writing. It says this: "For you shaped me inside and out. You knit me together in my mother's womb long before I took my first breath. I will offer you my grateful heart, for I am your unique creation, filled with wonder and awe. You have approached even the smallest details with excellence. Your works are wonderful. I carry this knowledge deep within my soul. You see all things. Nothing about me was hidden from you as I took shape in secret, carefully crafted in the heart of the earth. Before I was born from its womb, you see all things. You saw me growing, changing in my mother's womb. Every detail of my life was already written in your book. You established the length of my life before I ever tasted the sweetness of it. Your thoughts and plans are treasures to me." You see, before we came here, God knew us. He chose us. He created us in his heart to enjoy everything that he has for us. And that includes having a destiny, having a plan, having a relationship with him. Because the purpose of us being born into this physical realm was to work out that love relationship, to express it here, to have a face-to-face relationship with God, to demonstrate who he is, to outwork our destiny. And all of that is contained in our spirit. So we come from eternity into this realm to have relationship with God, to demonstrate who he is, outwork our destiny, and bring his rule and his government here. That was the plan. That is still the plan, but it didn't quite work out like that. At conception, for each of us, there's a flash of light that enters, and that's our spirit entering from eternity into this physical realm. That our spirit carries our supernatural DNA. It carries the record of God's creative plan for our life. Your true identity and your destiny is on the inside of you, in your spirit. It came from heaven. Because we're separated from God, it gets hidden on the inside of us. And our physical DNA from our mum and our dad comes together and wraps around it, and we become surrounded by the physical realm. Now, Jesus is the way back to the Father. And when we accept him at salvation through the cross, we access that spiritual life again, because our spirit becomes reconnected with God. We re-enter into that love relationship that God longs to have with us. So when we become Christians, our spirit ignites and we begin our new life, the life that we always should have had in God. And then we start a journey and an adventure of discovering who we really are. Our spirit awakens and our destiny calls us. But we have to pursue it. We have to make it happen, because it's hidden. It's become dormant. But we can now pursue it and follow it and find out who it is that God calls us to be. So when we were born into this physical realm, it's pretty messed up. Anybody agree? Not quite what God had intended for us. Firstly, we're separated from God, our Father, that we were supposed to be in relationship with. All those needs that we saw that were originally met in God, filled by God, they are in us because we were meant for God to fulfill them. So we all have those needs. We need to be accepted. We need to be affirmed. We need to belong. We need to be loved. We need to have purpose, and we need to find significance. None of us are any different. Those needs are on the inside of us. But because we've come out of that realm into one that's pretty messed up, we have to find a way of getting those needs met, which initially it's not from God. We just have to get on with it. We have to get on with life, whatever that looks like. We learn these coping mechanisms. We learn our belief systems, our value strategies, how we're going to cope with life from our early environment. It's usually from our family. Will teach us our values and our behaviours. We learn how to get our needs met, or we don't. So we shut them down. As we grow, we learn, actually, disappointment is part of life. When I was looking at this for myself, I saw that there were four particular areas that disappointment manifested in my life. One, disappointment in people. Two, shock, horror, disappointment in God. Three, disappointment in myself. And four, disappointment in life, what life had thrown at me, life's circumstances. So I'm just going to unpack those a little bit. What do I mean by disappointment in people? Well, people let you down. Fact. People let us down all the time. And the problem is, because we've got these needs on the inside of us, sometimes we look to people to meet those needs in ways that they never can, because they're not supposed to. So, for me, lots of people in my life have let me down. Some have just been plain mean. And some of them, I was trying to make them fit what I needed when they were never supposed to. But that being aside, the result it left in me was disappointment and hurt. So, two ways we deal with it when people disappoint us. We either think, well, it's life, life sucks, it's just the way that it is. And we shut down. Or it goes on the inside of us and it festers and it grows and it becomes hopelessness and it develops and it can be all-consuming. The problem is we're all broken because we all come into a world that's broken. So I know that I've hurt people. I've disappointed people. Have I meant to? No. Does that make any difference? No. Because we hurt people, we let them down, we disappoint them. So my brokenness may well have affected you. If it has, I'm really sorry about it. Your brokenness may well have affected me. That's the way that it goes. Because how we saw when Hazel did her talk was we have distorted views of everything because of brokenness. So we all see, I've got sunglasses here, but I can't bother to do it. So I see through my filters and you see through yours. And our filters are equally, we bounce off against our filters, don't we? And we cause damage. So I needed to identify, for myself to move forward, I needed to identify where I felt let down, where I felt disappointed, where I felt that people had disappointed me. And I needed to look where I disappointed other people. And I needed to look at my expectations. Where are my expectations right? Because sometimes I know I've let people down, but their expectation of what they've wanted from me hasn't been okay. It hasn't been realistic. So there's a whole area to do with our identity that God wants to come into and to bring healing and wholeness. Obviously, one of the biggest areas for me of disappointment was in my marriage with Mike, because it's the two people that you're closest to. And over the years, because we are so different, I was disappointed a lot with what he did or didn't do. But my expectations on him weren't right because he's not me. And I would want him to be just like me. And we need to look at these things and where they've shaped us. And God wants us to just let go of everything that is not of him so that he can bring healing and wholeness to deepen our lives. Because that disappointment will become resentment if we don't deal with it. Disappointment in God. What, you might say? Disappointment in God? I don't know if you've ever said this, but I certainly have. If God loved me, he wouldn't have done that. If God loved me, he wouldn't have let that happen. If God is so loving, why does he? They're questions that we all have. And again, it comes from our wrong perception of God, because as we've been hearing, God is what? Love. God is only love. But because we are broken, because we are wounded, we put our expectations of God, and the enemy has a field day with us, because the one person who can love us into wholeness is the person that we often blame, and we blame God. But do you know what? God is big enough for us to say we're not very happy about things. And when I was growing up, I didn't know that you could do that. You couldn't possibly tell God you were disappointed in him. Do you know what? He already knows. Because he just loves us, but he knows everything about us. There's a verse in the Bible that says that he is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. He knows everything. We don't have to be religious and not tell him when we're disappointed. We can pour it out to him. Let's just tell him. He might say, well, actually, that's not quite what happened. He might put us straight, but he will love us into wholeness because he knows. Because when you hold on to disappointment with God, it will affect your relationship with him and your expectation. Because if you feel God's disappointed in you, you're not going to go to him, are you? So he wants us to come to him so he can deal with that. Disappointed in myself. Mm-hmm. Huge area for me. I've hurt many people. I've done some awful, terrible things. Disappointed in myself. And I have had conversations with myself over the years that have said, how did I get here? Why on earth did I do that? What on earth is wrong with me? Being disappointed in myself. If we don't deal with it, we live in that negativity and we live under guilt, condemnation. Those three. Guilt, condemnation, and shame. Now, I'm not going to talk about those because Hazel did those beautifully the other week. But we all know if we don't deal with those, the enemy has a field day with us. Fourthly, disappointed with life. Circumstances. Well, I didn't think my life would go this way. I didn't think I'd have that relationship breakdown. I didn't think I'd lose my job. I didn't think I'd end up with no money. I didn't think I'd... It shouldn't be. Life sometimes can be really disappointing to us. And for me, those are four areas that I really had to go to God with and work through and lay them down. See, as Christians, we surrender our lives to God. We're saying, I want to live for you. Have your way. Do whatever you want in my life. Strip everything away. You can have my heart. You can have it all. Anybody ever said that? And then it's a bit shocking when God takes us at his word and he starts to strip away things that are not good for us. But depending where our headspace is, we can like, what on earth is going on? I didn't sign up for this. I didn't give you permission to go there, God. I didn't say that you could do that. God loves us. And if we are going to come into everything that he has for us, we need to give him full access into every area of our lives, because disappointment and hopelessness will rob us and keep us from his goodness. So God takes us at our word and things get a bit hot. Sometimes in this process we can feel let down. It's too difficult. It's not what I meant. And doubts and disappointments can come in and want us to give up. And for many of us, when we've been disappointed or felt let down, we want to do a runner. We don't want to stay. I can only encourage you, push through. Because God's heart for us is to love us and bless us. Because nothing bad comes from God. Because God is love. God only has love. It's always good. But dealing with roots in our life can be difficult. Wounds go deep and it's not easy. But God wants to bring us into freedom, healing, and wholeness. Sometimes we don't understand, but that's where we have to trust that God does, because he is for us. The enemy wants you to give up, to give in to disappointment. Blame God, give up, walk away. I know how hard it can be. I've been through some really, really difficult times, but I also know when I've come through the other side of it, it's wow. God doesn't want us limping. He doesn't want us struggling. Sometimes disappointment, the pain, the emotion, it's heavy. It's a heavy heart that we carry. It can feel like we're carrying a heavy load. It can feel like you've had a ball and chain around your leg. You name it. Again, you know what it looks like to you. That is not God's heart. disappointment is a normal emotion. It's part of life. The first seed of doubt that comes in, not dealt with, will grow. And we have to be so aware that we have tools to deal with these things. I don't think any of us are ever going to be exempt from disappointment, but we can deal with them. Because disappointment not dealt with can become discouragement. Discouragement not dealt with can become disillusionment, which can become despair or depression. And finally, hopelessness, where you're defeated, where you just give up. That's the enemy's tactics for us. Let's not give in. What do we give up on? Well, if you give up on people, if you're so disappointed with people that you give up, what do? You withdraw, you isolate. You can become angry or bitter, critical. You can live in the power of betrayal, because betrayal is disappointment starts here, doesn't it? And then it grows, and often there are layers and layers and layers. If you're disappointed in yourself, what can happen if you don't deal with it? Self-hatred, self-rejection, guilt, shame, condemnation. In life circumstances, what can happen if we don't deal with that? Victim mentality. It's not fair. Or can become really rebellious, angry. It's where addictions can come in because we can't cope. It's not fair. I don't know what to do. Behaviour patterns can become addictions. What about God? What about if we don't deal or acknowledge disappointment with God? At the end of the day, God can never let us down. But we have to deal with our perceptions of how we think God has let us down. And we can be real with that. If we don't, we blame God. We have a distorted view of him. We see him as people who have hurt us. We often say that we put onto God our filters of what our earthly father was like, and we see God in the same way. But again, God is love. He is for us. There is nothing angry or punishing or that can come from God. But often that's the way that we see him. So we need to deal with those things. If we don't, this will rob us of our destiny, of our hope, of our purpose, of our relationship. That's when we can turn to false comforts or shut down or cope with our DIY way of dealing with life. God's love for you is not in question. It cannot be, because God is love. No matter what you're going through right now, God loves you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to restore you. What you have been through, what you have done, God loves you. What disappointments have shaped you? Ask God to show you. Again, hope deferred makes our hearts sick. Life is full of disappointments. We were recently in New York, and I was so excited because we were going to go to Central Park and we were going to spend a day in Central Park, and I was really excited about it, and it rained. It didn't rain, it rained. And I was disappointed it rained. Now, should I not have been disappointed? I don't think I was wrong to be disappointed that the sun wasn't shining. But what I did with that disappointment is key. And that's what I want to say for all of us. Things do disappoint. The fact is, I was in New York, in Central Park, for goodness sake. It could have spoilt my day. I had to give my head a wobble. Was it really important? No, but it could have been, because I could have dwelt on it. I could have let it consume me. We were on a cruise a few years ago, and on cruise boats, they have amazing little people who serve you non-stop, and there's a pancake station on this particular boat, and all this little person did for probably 5 hours was made pancakes. And just because I like to bless people, I didn't have the pancakes because they're bad for you, but I would smile and say, you know, hi, and oh, you did such a good job, da, da, da. And this one morning, a lady in front of me said to this person who made pancakes for his living, the pancake I had yesterday was horrible. I looked forward to that pancake. It was so awful. It spoilt my whole day. Okay. That's disappointment gone mad. That's disappointment gone crazy. That's what can happen when we don't deal with it. When she went, I went up and I said, I think you make very nice pancakes. Can you see how it can become negative and it can consume us. When God is our foundation, we can be thankful in every situation. We have to be thankful in every situation because God is good. He's for us. He is love. He's always on our side. He will make all things work together for our good if we submit and surrender them to him. Even when things aren't very pleasant, he promises that he will bring good out of it if we let him. But the devil doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to come into everything that God's got. Now, I've been in many difficult situations where I have felt bereft and hopeless and like giving up and like I can't go on anymore. And God, why am I like this? And you're supposed to bless me and I didn't sign up for this and all of those things. But I've chosen to trust God and he has redeemed those situations and he has restored situations that I couldn't even imagine how he could do it because he knows better than me. And that's what he wants for us, to release those deep pains to him, release our control and trust him. Don't let disappointment define you. Let God define you. God is not distant. He's not angry. He's your heavenly, loving Father. He's your heavenly Daddy. You can meet him face to face. Tell him where you're disappointed. Who has disappointed you? What are you carrying? What do you feel bad about because you've been a disappointment? If you feel God has let him down, you can tell him. Pour it out to him. And in the pouring out to him, he will comfort you. He will meet with you. He will transform you. Because he loves you. He's big enough. He can cope with what we throw at him. Because he just loves us. The enemy just wants to keep us locked up. But God just wants to release his love to you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Jesus. Psalm 55, 22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Give it to God. How you do it, it doesn't really matter. We've got paper and pens. Oh, I thought we had stones, but we haven't got stones. However you want to do it, you can give. Yes, we do. Sometimes people have felt helpful to identify and then place something at the foot of the cross. Release it. You might need to forgive people. You might need to forgive yourself. Just don't carry it anymore. If we don't, it will be a blockage. And the enemy wants us to give up and think, what's the point? But our inheritance is victory, abundance, blessing, freedom, wholeness, joy, hope. For me, if I go back to my story, the aim was to rob me of my spiritual authority and my peace. Do you know the most amazing thing that we can have on the inside is peace? We can live in peace, and that is incredible. When I acknowledged the areas that I had become hopeless, God dealt with them on the inside of me, and I had hope, and I could sit in authority on the Good News Mountain and bring hope. Now work with an angel of hope. Hope is incredible. One of my favorite declarations from our mountain is, there is hope for change in every situation. Why? Because my hope is in God. It's not in the situation, it's not in circumstances, it's not in people. My hope is in God and he is faithful and nothing is impossible for him. He will never let me down, although sometimes I don't understand what he's doing, but I have learned and I'm learning continually to trust his ways. Isaiah 55, which is one of the verses, it's one of my favourites that God takes me back to time and time and time again, because basically it says, mind your own business. Let me get on with it. This is actually what it says. My intentions are not always yours, and I do not go about things as you do. My thoughts and my ways are above and beyond you. Just as heaven is far from your reach here on earth, for as rain and snow can't go back once they've fallen, but soak into the ground and nourish the plants that grow, providing seed to the farmer and bread for the hungry. So it is, when I declare something, My word will go out and not to return to me empty, but it will do what I wanted. It will accomplish what I determined. And that is a verse that is so dear in my heart, because that's God saying, trust me, and I'll work it out. You leave it alone. Let me get on and do it. But then it goes on. When we do that, this is what it says. For you will go out in joy. When we do that, we will go out in joy, be led home in peace. And as you go, the land itself will break out in cheers. The mountains and the hills will erupt in song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Prickly thorns and nasty briars will give way to a luxurious shade trees, sweet and good. And they'll remind you of the Eternal One and how God can be trusted absolutely and forever. Isn't that beautiful? But it's a bit of a process, isn't it? But I really believe today that God wants to meet us in that place where he wants to come into those places where we have built walls to protect those areas of deep disappointment. Psalm 34, 18 and 19 says, when someone is hurting or brokenhearted, the Eternal God moves in close and revives him in his pain. Hard times may well be the plight of the righteous. They may often seem overwhelmed, but the Eternal rescues the righteous from what oppresses them. And I believe that that's God's promise to us today. So what we're going to do, if it works, I'm going to play a song first, and then we're going to do an activation. So I would just encourage you to just get in that place with God now and really let the song minister to you, and then we're going to do an activation. Through the wall.
death and resurrection. In every single seed,
I just encourage you now to stay in that place and to see God standing before you with his arms outstretched, just wanting to embrace you. Allow him to embrace you and let him into those deep places of disappointment and pain. If you're carrying heavy loads, then just drop them at his feet. If you feel locked in, give him permission to just breathe love and engulf and envelop you with his love. Just release, forgive, do whatever you need to do. And allow him to cause hope to stir within you. This is a new day, a day where you continue your adventure and journey with him on that relationship of love, where that you can let go of the past, where you can be defined and shaped by what he says about you.
For some in the gardens of our heart, there may be areas which are barren, which are not growing. Just let Jesus take you to these areas where there's barrenness, where he can just bring life, new hope. I just encourage you, if God is really doing something with you as we continue to worship together, please allow God to continue. If you feel you need someone to stand with you, then there's lots of us here. If you feel this might be a bit bigger than now, we have tools. If you see Karen, she can arrange for someone to pray with you in a different setting.